Have you ever dreamed of a life designed by you, not for you? A life where you hold the reins of your financial future? At Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals all walking the path towards financial independence. We understand that success is crafted in the face of adversity. It's in these testing times that we discover our resilience, our determination, and our discipline. That's why we're inviting you to learn more about Become an Investor. It's not just about learning the ins and outs of real estate investing. It's about empowering you to take control of your financial future. We'll provide the tools, but the choice to act, to persevere, and to succeed is yours. Join us and start your journey towards living life by design. Together, we'll turn aspiration into reality and empowerment into success. Learn more at becomeaninvestor.com.
Again, here with another episode of our Live Life by Design podcast, brought to you by Become an Investor. Having a full night tonight, kind of getting regrouping back after the holiday break, the first holiday break, right? Everybody's, I think, either hungover or too full to talk. What's up, people?
I feel like a turkey.
I feel like a turkey. She's stuffed.
Ladies, Sarah, how you doing tonight?
Good. I'm good. Thank you. I'm good. I'm here.
How's the turkey day for you?
It was great. We went to the North Pole. I'm kidding. Well, it felt like the North Pole.
So cold.
Isn't that for Christmas?
No. We went to Bakersfield, so it was very cold over there. But yeah, it was good. We had a good time.
Wow. Yeah. That's cool. I mean, cold. It's cold everywhere, I guess.
Yeah, it is right now. Mm,
yeah.
Danny.
It was good. It was great. Yeah. Hi, beautiful people.
There you go.
Hey. I feel like the turkey stuff was freaking crazy. But
a lot of food?
A lot of food. I cook a lot. I love my family around. So I had family, friends, and two turkeys, and I don't even know, a lot of leftovers. You make the soup. I make that soup. So good.
Know. Thank you.
It was a bunch of cilantro. Why, are you hungry? Yeah. Oh, tastes good. Tastes so good.
Next year. Yeah, next year. Campos, what's up?
What's happening?
Campos is older now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you are too.
No, I'm
older. Both are.
I get the younger, dude.
Oh yeah, I had to take an extra year for her. So you know, she goes backwards. I take two for her.
Oh, he's a gentleman.
There you go.
Nice.
Just don't tell nobody now. Come on now.
Yeah. Campos, how's everything for you, man?
Good, man. You know, just a lot going on. New venture that we're expecting to hear back on. You know, where things land with it in the next couple of weeks. So excited, scared, all that good shit. You know what I mean? The emotional roller coaster of
waiting. It's a must.
And all that good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, I'm excited.
That's a cool thing about entrepreneurship, man. You get to a point in life where you can't live without the roller coaster.
Right.
It's a lifestyle.
It hurts your stomach, though. It still doesn't hurt your stomach. You know, it doesn't stop.
It does, you know, but another thing, you know, I mean, I know I do for myself is I enjoy the roller coaster, but I have an on and off switch button, you know, because I like sleeping like a baby.
Yeah.
So I like shutting that shit down and then popping it up early in the morning and then going through those waves again because it's a hell of a thrill.
Yeah. Especially when things start firing in order. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, it takes, but it's a lot of work. It's like anything, right? Anything worth doing is going to be work.
And down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So let's move forward. So we start off with
the topic of the night.
Let's talk about the topic.
Yeah. So, as you all know, we're having a lot of changes here in California. There's always new things coming into effect.
Always new things.
Yeah. And I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but you know, new administration coming in, so we may hear more. But as of now, we're just going to talk about a few new legislations that are affecting wholesalers and house flippers.
In California. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm going to hold you to that affecting side of your sentence, but we'll just talk about it later.
Let's keep it in mind. Let's keep in mind the affecting side of it.
I know where you're going with that, but I'm not going to comment on it right now. Because cool. You know why? Because I have a quote to read.
All right, on. Let's
got
do
a
it.
Cool quote, because it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about tonight. Because, you know, new legislation. Well, this quote has to do with legislators. So here's the quote. Ready? When buying and selling are controlled by legislation, the first thing to be bought and sold are legislators, by P.J. O'Rourke. How true that is, huh? How true that is.
I thought I was going to enjoy that quote, but
it pisses you off, huh? Man.
It hurt my stomach, and it sucks. Can you read it again so I just get the whole
diarrhea thing? Here we go. I'm going to make it sink in. When buying and selling are controlled by legislation, the first thing to be bought and sold are legislators. That's a good one.
Let me do my
your
meditation.
Your mantra. Yeah,
dude. I'm going to let you people open up on that, because I think, I don't know.
It's
midlife crisis. I get triggered so easy by these.
But I mean, if you really think about it, right? If things are being regulated by people, they can be bought and be bought to go in the direction that I want them to go.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's why they have freaking, what do they call them? Lobbyists.
Yeah.
Right. They say they lobby, but they pay.
Wine and dine.
It's a whole sham.
Let me contribute to your party or your campaign, you know?
Yeah. You know what? I'll say this, and, you know, everybody, all of our listeners, I think you got my patterns already. I voice out everything I think and I feel and I've seen and I believe. And I believe sometimes it can get me in trouble, and it's okay. It's a consequence, right? It's a price to pay just to live in peace and voice out your thoughts. I've been so close to so many wealthy people that I've seen firsthand how they manipulate systems, municipal systems, in such a gruesome way that it makes me wonder what the next step in the ladder does.
Good you know? Point.
It's like, oh my God, this is just municipal, man.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I've seen it here in our ward, which is the section of where stupid office is located. Our city has 6 wards, you know? And each has its director before it even hits the mayor or the city supervisor. So every single tier has a different increase of, I'm just going to say what it is, it's corruption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And think about it, though, from the municipal level and what level of, I guess, you know, corruption that happens at the municipal level. Now imagine at the state level and then the federal level.
Wow. Oh, my God. It's crazy.
That's crazy. And
the amount of money that gets pumped into those systems, right? Because, I mean, they're parties, right? And so they need a campaign. They need money for
campaigns. They're businesses.
Yeah, exactly.
And they have to be sustained.
Absolutely. And those people have to go out and make their sales, right?
Yeah.
Their votes.
Yeah.
You know? They gotta go out there and sell for votes.
Right.
That's what it is. They're salesmen.
Yeah.
Politicians are salesmen.
Yeah. You know, one time an old friend of mine told me, you know, the day that and not looking to get religious here, but the day that people used to help you out as a favor, when Jesus Christ used to walk earth, are long gone. Non-existent. Those approaches, those systems of helping each other or even bartering for that matter, yeah, don't exist anymore.
You know what's funny? So I think I want to say it was Think and Grow Rich, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things he talks about is, you know, doing something for 7 days for somebody just out of the kindness of your heart. Start making yourself change.
Yeah.
And I remember telling somebody about that, you know, as I read that. And I shared that with somebody. I think it was my neighbor or something like that. I said, you know, I'm going to start helping this dude out, you know, just because. And he looks at me like this fucking look on his face, like, why?
Yeah.
Like, why would you do that?
Right.
You know? I'm like, fuck, just to help somebody out, you know? Like, why not? Why wouldn't you do that, you
right.
know?
Right.
So you're right. Like, people's mind, nobody says hi anymore either, though, to their neighbors and shit either. Everything's changed. Everything's fucked up.
No, everything is, you know, but staying in the lane of rules and laws and new bills that we get thrown and we have to adapt into our business structure are like this leak in a roof that you cannot get the permit to fix, and then you get rainy season all year long. It's going to forever continue to drip and drip and drip and drip, and that's what happens with all these stupid rules that, I mean, a new one comes up every 24 hours, you know, so it kind of sucks. So to the comment you made earlier, effect, you know, yes, they do cause an impact, but are you going to let that affect your business? I think it's time for everybody to own up their processes and get educated. I think it's time to drop the pity and then just grow up and say, you know what? I'm going to put my pants on and I'm going to educate myself because I don't want that. It's going to cause an impact, but I don't want it to affect me or my business. And how will it not affect you? By educating yourself and understanding how to buy and when to buy, maybe. Right? The days of just throwing all these properties into a funnel and then just, you know, having the checks come out the other end of the funnel, those are coming to an end. They're not going to be as fluent as everybody tries to make them seem they are. This is a great business, but again, you either want to be a transactional investor or you want to create wealth for you and your loved ones. I know what I'm in it for. I'm not here to cash a quick 9-to-5 check. I don't remember the last time I did that. And I'm not here to create a lifestyle based on transactional income. Because then where's my freedom? Where is my living life by design?
Yeah. No, good point.
Right? So, I mean, let's start going through. We have a list of 15 new legislation bills in the state of California that will, if you don't do your homework, your due diligence, will affect wholesalers and house flippers. That's everybody in this room.
Yep.
Right? So who wants to break the ice? Sarah, want to take the first one?
Okay. Let's see. So the first one is AB 968. And
that one.
It reads... This bill regulates the assignment of purchase agreements, making it mandatory for wholesalers to disclose their status as assigners to potential buyers, thus increasing transparency.
Anybody want to put input on that? I mean, there's no extension on it here on what we have written down, but 968 is this one bill will crush
wholesalers
and flippers, right? That transparency side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's transparent. What the hell are you talking about? But guess what? Now there's so many chiefs involved and everybody has such a heavy say that nobody wants to be pointed at. Nobody wants the finger pointing at them. So guess what? Because I don't want to be at fault, I'm going to throw the ball to you.
This almost like put, this is what we're talking about before we started the podcast almost, right? Where I had a conversation with a guy who's starting out as wholesaling, saying that he deals with real estate agents and Redfin and so on and so forth. This is just basically turning people into real estate agents.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
You have to disclose their status as assigners to potential buyers, thus increasing transparency. Whatever. I just look at it as a couple of ways, right? One is taxation, making sure that once that's disclosed and that's disclosed to everyone, got to make sure that this guy pays the taxes on whatever it was that he got out of that assignment fee.
Yeah. When, that's why I see it. You know, when I got into the business years ago, none of this was to be worried about. This is something like just this is a new trend of, like, I guess all these politicians don't have nothing to do, so they just start drafting all these up, right? They got to cash their paycheck.
California, man.
Well, isn't it like after every lawsuit, a new form comes up? Well, and I remember in real estate, like...
after one lawsuit, 10 more rules come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny, want to take on the next one?
SB9, these legislations... Legislation allows duplex to be developed in single-family zones, providing greater opportunities for house flippers to create additional units in traditional single-family home neighborhoods.
So you know, SB9 is great.
Yeah, that right? One.
It sounds good up until you get home and you don't find any parking.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're allowing you to convert the dwelling, right, from the curbside inwards, but then the infrastructure of the city is not improved. There's no city improvements, there's no public parking, there's no, you know, who knows, right? Now you get a cul-de-sac that gets overpopulated with a 8-inch sewer line going out, and everybody takes a duke at the same time. What happens, you know?
Oh, man.
It sounds stupid, but it's real.
Yeah. No, I won't even go there. Cause.
But then these are long-term impacts.
Yeah.
And then they get inherited to whoever gets the shorter end of the stick when everything's converted and developed.
Yep.
You know? For example, tenants. You know, if there's no infrastructure for a single family home that got converted into a duplex, somebody's fridge is going to go out and their food is going to go bad. Right? Because there's no infrastructure there. There's not enough juice to sustain a duplex when you're very limited to a single family home. Mm-hmm. There's so much on the back end of everything. But it's easier for politicians to approve all these things, to collect taxes, and then you can go call the plumbing company. For all I know, they approve this, and then they open a plumbing company. You know?
Yep.
Confos, you want to take the next one?
AB 234, aimed at promoting affordable housing. This bill includes provisions that can affect how house flippers price properties and market their potential to potential buyers.
Mm. Yeah. So define affordable, right? When you take on a property where if you take it creatively, but the mortgage on it and your cost of operations is excessive and it doesn't fit the affordable parameters, are you going to have a negative cash flow now? Or
yeah. I mean, because I think what was affordable housing defined as bills not being more than 35% of your adjusted gross income, I think it was, right? So, to me, I mean, but affordable housing is going to be different for everyone than if that's what they're basing the definition on. You make $100 a week, I make $50 a week. So, what do you rent the house for? 35 because you make 100 and... $1,750 for me? Like, does that make sense? Mm. You know what I mean? Because affordable housing is supposed to be based on 35% of somebody's income.
30%.
Yeah. 30%. Stand corrected. 30%. Yes. Thank you. So $30, $15. So that, and how does that impact the landlord?
Right.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like stupid. I don't know. I just think some of these things, and to your point, you know, it's not, none of this stuff is always well thought through.
No.
And it's just like a shoot from the hip bill or decision to appease somebody else who is complaining.
Yeah.
Or maybe donating to them. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's like I had a glass of wine with my godmother, and she fell at the property she's renting, and she came and bitched at me, and we were both drunk, and I agreed, and I said, I'm going to go write a new law. You know, it's like I sit there. That's the way it seems it works, like, you know. But, you know, so we'll go to AB 1482. This bill establishes statewide rent control and just cause eviction requirements, which can influence the pricing and management strategies of rental properties owned by flippers. So some of them are strategically focused towards flippers, investment property.
Yeah.
You know, and it sucks because, again, if you're not doing your due diligence and you're buying a long-term rental with very tight margins, then you're going to get a bitter taste of the business. You know, who nowadays, I mean, I don't know, man, knock on wood, who nowadays wants to take on the burden of a property for a cash flow of $100?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then having to deal with a bad tenant and you can't, because listen to what it says. This establishes statewide rent control and just cause eviction requirements. So I remember we did this a couple of weeks back. Or a couple of months back, we were kind of going through some of these legislative things. And one of the things that you can't do is you couldn't evict somebody. I think one of the a just cause wasn't for not paying rent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, well, what the hell? So, okay, well, then these guys making these bills, then you know what? Why don't we send them to your house and let them live there for free? See how they like it.
Yeah, right.
Seriously, because, I mean, how did I? Instead of holding people accountable, they want to hold the person the wrong person accountable.
Yeah.
You know,
victimize you.
Yeah. I don't get it. You know,
I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Sarah.
SB 1079. This legislation allows local agencies to purchase foreclosed properties before they go to auction, potentially limiting the inventory available for wholesalers and house flippers.
There you go. Somebody bought somebody a sandwich.
Or a watch.
Right? I mean, somebody just said, hey, you know what? Write this up, draft it, present it, propose it, whatever you call the process. And then have your buddy, I'll buy them a sandwich too. But before it gets to your mom and pop's type of flippers.
Let the big guys get it.
Let the big corp get it. Right?
I mean, see, I thought that there were, that's funny that we're reading this because I remember a few years ago somebody on TV saying, oh, no, we're not going to allow big corporations to buy foreclosed properties, you know, not the little, it won't affect the little guy. We're going to hit the big guys.
No way.
It almost seems like they do the opposite of what they say, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Danny.
AB 27-3. This bill mandates greater disclosure requirements about property conditions impacting how wholesalers and flippers present their properties for sale.
Yep. So there you go, you bunch of painted pig creators. Yeah.
No, I'll tell you what though. That's
painted,
one thing.
Painted pig breeders.
As a guy who wholesales a lot, I'm very very upfront about what I see in the property. Yeah. I take pictures. I share them. I show them. I tell them where I think the problems are. Like this last one that we've been working on, you know, when I walked it and I kind of felt the floor and everything, I'm like, dude, this is some water damage here. Mm. And the seller was like, no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to fix it.
It's just fluffy floor.
Yeah. I was like, all right, cool. Then I had one of our people, you know, our community come walk it with me. He's like, dude, that floor is gone. We have to replace everything. And the studs might even be the cross.
Yeah.
What are they called? Underneath the floor, it's a mobile home. I can't remember the cross beams or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know your mobile home terminology.
But he was like, even we probably have to replace those. So when I was in the process of getting rid of this thing, you know, I'm very open about it. Like, hey, you know, the subfloor is bad, and the subfloor of the subfloor may be bad, right? Yeah. Because you got to set expectations.
I like taking property and fixing it as if I were going to move in it.
Yeah.
You know, within, I mean, the integrity of the structure.
Yeah.
As if I was going to move in it. Finishes, maybe not, because I let the neighborhood speak. Yeah.
Exactly. Right? I'm with you on that.
But yeah, the integrity of the structure, yeah, it should be sound. It should be long lasting. It should be well done, right? It should be safe. You know, it's like we have a rule in our construction company, which is first is safety, then integrity of the structure, and then cosmetics, right? A lot of people say, oh, no, let's do the cosmetics first. But then the bones are weak. And that doesn't ever turn out to be good. Hmm. You know, so we want safety first for the people either, you know, producing the product and the ones that are going to enjoy the product after the fact. The integrity of the structure is a big one. And then the cosmetics. I mean the aesthetics of the finishes are secondary to safety and to the integrity of the structure. So I don't know. Everybody has a different view. Again, if you're buying a property with very thin margins, you're going to get squeezed to do bad finishes. And then with all these stupid legislation thingies, I mean, you're going to end up in trouble. Right? They're going to come after someone at the end.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And well, that's the thing. It almost feels like you're wearing a target now.
Yeah. Right? But and let me be very clear. I'm not. So I was going to wait and say this till the end, but I'll repeat it at the end. So this is the rule of legislation, right? All these get drafted up, they get presented, they get proposed, they get passed. And then this is at a state level.
This podcast is sponsored by Become an Investor. Here at Become an Investor, we believe in you and your unique potential. We're a community of like-minded individuals, all working a path towards financial independence. We're about empowering you to take control of your financial future. Well, how? Well, most of us got started with foreclosure leads, and you now can too. Follow the link in the show notes below, and for a limited time, you can get our foreclosure ebook. With that, we'll also send you up to 10 free leads in your local area. So get those leads. Get this book so you too can get started on your path to living life by design. Now back to the podcast.
It goes to municipal, and then it goes to city, right? Every time it goes down the chain, they cannot water it down, but they can make it tougher. Okay, so the city of Riverside, if they want to change any code, they have to make it tougher but not weaker than that of the county where they got it from.
Yeah, because it's usually the most stringent is what's enforceable.
Right. So I mean, it's not that all these are gonna apply all the time. They're not always going to come up, but it's good to just practice on the side of them.
Right.
You know, create new building standards or buying standards for your business so you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, because you don't want to come across that buyer if you're flipping.
You never know.
Who's going to just point at all these and, oh, you didn't do this.
Yeah. I mean,
you can't have those buyers.
Yeah, I mean, check this out. It could be somebody we trained. And we gave this list, and now you're screwed, you know?
That's somebody listening on the podcast, huh?
Right. You know? Okay, so who? Campos.
My turn.
Yeah.
I think I have SB 477.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The legislation focuses on defining affordable housing, thus influencing how house flippers approach properties targeted for redevelopment. That didn't hit me too good.
Finding affordable housing. So there's a catch word here for in the business. Okay, so redevelopment is different than development, right? Development is new. Redevelopment is rehabbing. Redevelopment requires you picking up a structure that already exists and bringing it up to code, which sometimes can be harder than just building from scratch. So when you buy an old house and you don't know what the hell you're doing, guess what? You just gotta you gotta marry the book, the building book, and everything that you have now has to match everything that the inspectors want. Is your budget budgeted correctly?
Yeah.
And then the flip side of that is affordable housing. So if affordable housing is forced or enforced in this area, yet you didn't do your rehab numbers right, I don't know. Let's just move on. SB 1045, this bill streamlines the process for converting commercial properties into residential units, opening up new avenues for house flippers. That might be, it's a higher caliber thing, I would say. You know, picking up an abandoned
motel, hotel,
and converting it to affordable housing.
Yeah, that one you can see more.
Yeah.
I saw some places in Palm Springs, they revert that to affordable, and you can have like a short-term rentals and things like that up to code, of course.
Yeah. I actually have a hotel in my pipeline that I'm working on for that.
There you go.
To turn into a residential?
Yeah. I forget the amount, but it was hundreds of thousands of fentanyl pills that they confiscated at this hotel. And then I think it was a couple $100,000, and then a bunch of weapons.
Wow.
And you know, at this hotel. And this happens, I want to say, like 2 to 3 times a week.
Shit.
So I skip trace the hotel, and it's owned by a company, a smaller mom and pops, and an individual. Mm. It's not like a big corp, but I'm pretty sure this guy's tired of all this crap.
I would think,
you know, so I don't know. That's something, again, to this, they open that. I mean, I guess that's a good one for people that know what they're doing. I'm not going to say that I know what I'm doing, but it's a lead to follow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Definitely. AB 2219. I was next.
Yep.
Well, Sarah's next.
Just take it.
Establish guidelines for identifying and mitigating risks of displacement linked to real estate development, impacting how flippers approach neighborhood changes.
Yeah.
What is that? Mitigation risk of displacement linked to real estate development. So is that like, what happens to the family living in the house?
No. So all these are always tied to, you know, the permitting processes and development processes. I think there's, you know, if you want to do so much to a property, but then the neighborhood doesn't allow for it, you know, then
like those McMansions that were popping up for a long time. Like, they call them McMansions because they're like, you know, McDonald's boxes, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I don't have this one dialed down, but it doesn't seem like it establishes guidelines for identifying and mitigating risk of displacement linked to real estate development, impacting how flippers approach neighborhood changes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking maybe just that, you know, making houses from those little tiny boxes to the big, huge, mini mansion type looking things. You know what I mean?
That, yeah,
just kind of screws up the area. Or,
well, I mean, they do have to tighten up the nuts here and there, because if you let people do free reign, you know, they'll go buy a fucking load of container boxes and, you know, create a pyramid.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like
a Pentagon.
Yeah, there has to be some guidelines and some limitations to what you can do and not do, because it's going to impact, you know, the neighborhood. And then there's going to be people that are going to be bitching about it all the time, but, you know. But, Sarah.
So it's AB 2523. This legislation assesses the impact of short-term rentals on housing availability, influencing how flippers market properties intended for rental use.
Yeah, this one made a lot of people mad.
Yeah.
Some people, some cities don't allow you to do Airbnbs. They're just done. I think, what was it? New York was completely like
getting rid of them.
Got rid of them, right?
And a lot of cities just started dumping because kids were renting them and throwing crazy massive parties and then leaving, no accountability.
Yeah.
But then I think people were getting shot and stuff like that at these parties, or people getting robbed and shit, or robbing the house.
And then there's that one Airbnb lady that took that property out in Hollywood somewhere over there and stayed there for a year or so.
Yeah.
Or was it?
Or I think it was a dude in North Hills or something like that. Something he wouldn't leave the house or something like that, and they couldn't get rid of him. And it was like $100,000 that they were already into, you know, because they lost because they weren't receiving any revenue, having to make the payment and everything still.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That sucks.
I think I saw a guy on freaking TikTok or something talking about, you know, getting the property on Airbnb and then,
just living
you
there.
Know, live there because there is the eviction process. Then they're going to be wait another 6 months to the eviction to be done and blah, blah, blah. Wow. I was just like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. And it was in California.
The mentality. You know what I mean? Like the mentality, you know, that's the mindset crazy. Of. Let me just take for free, you know?
Yeah. You know, my favorite comedian is Sebastian Maniscalco, and he has a skit on Airbnb. It's funny, man. You should go look for it on YouTube. And he talks about how, you know, there's a booger wall. It's just crazy how he goes into, Airbnbs and the mattress and all that stuff. Super crazy. But it's real. You know, it's real. Like, a lot of people, there's a people that jump on their maintenance right away, right when the tenant leaves, they jump. And then there's people that really don't care.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then there's a lot of those stories where the cameras are hidden here and there, you know, with those freaks looking.
There's everything.
That's everything. Horrible shit right there.
So I actually got an Airbnb one time. I go everywhere, so, you know. There was needles. I was just like, what? You know, in the middle of the night, you need to stop somewhere. And, like, I was crossing the country, and there was literally no hotel available because I like driving a lot. So, anyways, short story. And there was sandals on the closet, too. I was just like, did they just left? I think they leave.
Wow.
Oh,
that's funny.
Anyways.
All right. Yeah. So moving on. AB 1938. This bill requires local governments to streamline the approval process for housing developments that include affordable units, which is BS. By simplifying approvals, it can aid house flippers who wish to incorporate affordable housing into their projects. I will say it out and loud. AB 1938. 38 is a big fat lie because there's absolutely no local government departments streamlining the approval processes or simplifying them by no means. This one's wrong. This one's a faux. Fake news. I don't even want to talk about those. Yeah. Piss me off. Campos.
Let's see. I have SB 6. This legislation allows developers to build housing on certain commercial properties, potentially increasing the inventory available for house flippers looking to redevelop underutilized properties. That kind of goes back to the hotel type thing, right?
Yeah.
Taking a commercial property.
Yeah.
Which sounds cool.
I mean, these are more like, it's going to benefit those people that you know, those connections you're connected to certain people in the commercial property arena. And then, you know, somebody's going to approve that property to qualify for that. Then they're going to call their buddy. Their buddy's going to call their flipper buddy. It's more of a controlled environment, I think. It's not something readily accessible to everyday flippers kind of deal. I don't know. Sarah.
AB 1401. This bill prohibits local agencies from imposing parking requirements for developments near public transit. This can encourage house flippers to invest in properties in transit-rich areas, making them more appealing to buyers.
Yeah, because they don't live there. You know, because, I mean, it's true. I was just at the building department in San Diego, and I was talking to this guy that he said there's deep pocket investors coming in and scooping up every single house and taking them to the floor and doing multifamily. So in his street, now there's a mix of multifamily and single family homes, and nobody has parking.
I've seen that in Fontana, too.
It's like, you know. He said his fix was buying one of those tow trucks that one of those big rigs that has like two different departments where they carry the cars on top of the bottom.
Let them park.
Yeah, and then these kids park at the bottom, and then these workers, you know.
That's a big thing that's happening a lot, though. Like, particularly in the LA area, the old areas, because they have big lots, huge lots.
Yeah.
And they're knocking down the small houses and then building multifamilies. And then they have this little driveway where they split their garages, you know, and they did that in Fontana. Because some of these, I mean, huge lots, and so they just built these multiple multifamily homes on like three or four lots already, and yeah, it's like crazy now. The streets just jam packed with cars.
Right,
right. Sucks.
It sucks, man. SB 1035, this legislation establishes a framework for the development of supportive housing and streamlines the permitting process for such developments, providing opportunities for flippers to participate in creating supportive community housing. Do these apply to Riverside? To the Inland Empire? this sounds like nonsense to me, man. I mean, every single... Well, I had a great experience in San Diego with permitting processes. But every here, Inland sucks. I mean, you go to Norco sucks ass. Riverside City, they suck. They're the top of the line sucking. I know if that makes sense. They suck. I mean, such a poor system to approve new projects coming up. You know who gets approved right off the bat? Deeper pockets. You know, people that have, like you said, the quote, you know, the first to get bought out are people writing legislation.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyways.
And sold commodities.
Yeah. Last one. Who's going to take this one? Don't fight.
I'll take it. 3AB. 3AB? 1402?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This bill expands the definition of displacement related to redevelopment, providing additional protections and guidelines for residents and influencing how flippers approach projects in areas at risk for gentrification. So that's what I was saying.
Which is BS.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. Is this like, because that word displacement kind of rings, right? Kind of loud in my ear. Is the problem with you what we're talking about, right?
We're talking about this with the Dodgers.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Or even with the case of buying out the old house in LA and building multifamily properties.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What about the people that live there now? Now everything jacks up.
Yeah.
And now the rent's gonna be crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm in. But I mean, but they're not doing anything to try to help that.
No, they don't. You know, they favor the deep pockets, they collect, and then they forget.
Yep.
And then they go to a different address, they favor another bigger pocket, and then they collect, and then they forget. It's just the way it works.
Gotta love it.
You know? So again, going back to, you know, if here's the thing, if you're in the business, you have to be fully involved in whatever is happening in your area. That's why it is so important to farm your area. You know, there's been a ton of houses that some of our students or some of my colleagues have said, oh, you know what? I went to that house. Oh, I've been through that house. I mean, my brother just bought his first home. Okay. Bought his first home. He just made his third mortgage payment.
Wow.
And I made an offer on that house 10 years ago. I walked him. I gave him the tour.
That's funny.
You know, it's like, I've been everywhere and anywhere, and I've been in so many homes that I'm not going to say I've been in every home, but I'm very familiar with my area. Very familiar. And I know, because I listen, right? I know who's been affected or impacted by some of the changes. And if you don't take that data and then believe that you're exempt from it, you're going to screw up.
Yeah.
You know? So focus on your area, focus in your farm, know which one of these 15 new legislative codes affect or are currently affecting anybody in the area, and then just be on the, be aware that somebody already knows that the next flipper is going to get hit by them too. You know? So if you buy wrong, you're not going to make any money. And if you ignore any of these processes, if you're not aware of them, it's like ignorance is not justifiable in court.
No.
You know, it doesn't like, oh, yeah, you're ignorant. Don't worry about it. Okay, next time.
I didn't know.
Now you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Go home.
No. Anyways, let's close it down, ladies and gentlemen. Danny.
What's up, guys?
What are your thoughts on so many rules?
I don't know. I get dizzy with these, you know, weird names, and I just pay attention to the ones that I like. Like, you know, let's...
I think it was a wine.
Who is drinking? No. It's just so... It's like what you say, right? You just need to pay attention to what's going on your area farm. That,
yeah.
And make sure that they're enforcing each one of that. If not, which one that's going to be...
Right.
You
it's
know,
gonna affect you.
Affect you and your business.
Impact your business. Yeah.
Take care. I mean...
Sarah?
I think like what you said earlier, you know, your due diligence, mm-hmm. always stay on top of it. I had a supervisor once told me, you know, everything that the state writes is going to be as clear as mud. So sometimes you have to read between the lines and try to figure it out. So if anything, always ask questions.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. And you know, to that, I'll tell you this. This is one of my steps when I'm looking at a property. Okay? When I'm looking at a property, you're only going to get so much information from the seller.
Right.
And they're going to give you the information that's going to side their price.
Yep.
Right? Their asking price. So I go to code enforcement. I go to building department. And I tell them exactly this. Hey, Mr. Building Inspector. Hey, Mr. Code Enforcement. Or RoboCop that you think you are. I'm looking to buy 123 Main Street. I'm looking to see if you have any encumbrances attached to this property. I don't want to make a bad buy. I'm looking to improve your community, but I need to do my due diligence. They appreciate so much somebody looking to do their due diligence because they want to get rid of issues. They got so many in the city, right? That the more you can take off their I mean, you take one off their list, 10 more pop up.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? So I always ask. Now, I mean, it wouldn't hurt to ask, hey, do any of these apply to the area I'm purchasing in or I'm considering making an offer on? If they don't know, I mean, it doesn't mean that they have to know, but you never know that they know.
They might, right?
But you ask.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Campos, final thoughts?
You know, I'm going to quote a good friend of mine, you know, when I was a youngster, and he was an older dude, actually. He would always say this, learn to live within the law. You don't have to necessarily live by the law, but learn to live within the law and learn how to get around things that hinder your progression.
Yeah.
Right? And so I take all of this and I think we've all talked about this before. It's like, okay, you start to think about, okay, well, how do I make this work? Right? And I think that everybody who's listening and who wants to be a flipper or, you know, is a flipper, you really need to take a look at these things and figure out how to live within
these rules.
These rules.
Right.
And I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can't live by them because then you're going to get screwed.
And you won't have a business.
Yeah, exactly. So you got to, you know, live within. And that applies to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Right. So anyway, just wanted to share that thought.
Yeah. No, great, man. Yeah. And again, you know, we can't stress this enough. Due diligence is the biggest, by far the biggest tool you can have in your tool belt when conducting the business of real estate investing. This is a business that can, it is very lucrative, but at the same time, it can strip you naked of everything you already have and everything you've already secured by a wrong move, you know? So do your due diligence. You can be highly successful in it, but you can also lose your pants very quick.
Yep.
Right? Yes. So just be extra careful. Extra careful. I mean, if you reach out to us, we'll provide you with the most updated information that we have access to and that we continuously further seek to provide it to people like you that are looking to get into the business in an effort to help you and just guide you in a way that we conduct our business to minimize risk.
Yes, sir.
So,
community.
Yep. Power of the community.
The power of the community.
Where can people find us and
talking not, about that
and not find us?
Talking about that, if you guys have any questions or just send your request. That's totally port English. Send your questions to info@becomeaninvestor.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Facebook. Can find us on the beautiful Live a Life by Design podcast on Apple Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Alexa. Just ask Alexa. And talk to you soon. Ciao.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.